Hello, foodies. If you are hearing or seeing this, you are not a Patreon supporter yet, and that is totally fine. Nevertheless, thank you for listening to us. Consider joining our free Discord community by clicking on the link in the show notes. And if you can't throw a buck a week to our Patreon, why don't you leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or better, do both of them. Also, sub to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/foodcoaching. And of course, many, many thanks to all our Patreon supporters for supporting us financially. Now, let's start this show.
Hello, footies. Welcome along to your latest dose of EAFC Ultimate Team Podcasting Goodness. We are Foot in Review, powered by footcoaching.com. My name's Dan Wimbush. I am with the scout, Nathan Downs. Loads, as always, to get into here on episode 602. We're recording this around lunchtime on Tuesday, the 9th of April. Thanks very much for being with us. Nath, we're going to mix things up a little bit from today's show. You know, usually we'd go through all of the content and we'd talk about the pros and cons of the SBCs and the objectives and things like that. But we're going to mix it up today because there's almost been so much content and so many cards thrown at us in this Galazzo promo. And with the way the market is, as well, as we'll come on to, it almost feels a little bit too nitpicky to be talking about the difference in and merits of doing some cards. So I think we're just going to kind of take it a bit more freestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited for a bit of a sort of more chill, laid back chat and catch up with you, Dan. So much to do, so much to grind, so many cool cards out, some interesting SBCs, whether they're for you or not. But yeah, it's such a, I'm actually really enjoying the time and place we're at the moment. I think it's really good fun. You know, Rivals, I know you've been promoted. I've got myself into a promotion as well, which is kind of disgusting, but at the same time, it's probably easier than maybe even two divisions below us. I think it's, the game's actually in a good state at the moment, I think. And I know I've been seeing on social media, some people saying game's dead, this, that, and the other, which we'll come into, but I'm really enjoying things.
Yeah, look, we talk often about the kind of soup, the whole soup of this ecosystem of this game, be it the menus, the gameplay, just sentiment around EA, the whole situation in the gaming world. And the soup, the flavor seems to have changed in the past few weeks. Some of it good, some of it bad. And you talk about getting promoted. You're now in Elite. I am in Div 1. There was lots of pain along the way. We both have the bruises to show from it, but we are there. But you talk about the flavor of the soup changing. I actually think that the Rivals, the whole thing around Rivals has changed massively since EA changed the rewards at the start of the season and crucially changed the way the cups are done as well now to remove the game limits. And what I think that's done, Nath, is that people now are playing Rivals a lot more casually. They're a lot more happy to promote because they're not, you know, worried about, I've got to stay in a lower division because I, you know, I need to play the cups and get my, you know, you only get five games a day. So I want to get that done. Now, with really good rewards to go for, people are thinking, right, I want to get up a division. And also, it's like, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, because I can just play the cup casually. Yeah, it might take me a few more games because I'm in Div 3, 2, 1, whatever. But, you know, people just seem to be actually finding their level, and that makes it better for everybody.
Yeah, 100%. I think before the sort of revamp of the rewards, I looked at it and thought, Div 4 is a decent sort of division for, you know, decent rewards. Div 2, we're getting good rewards. There wasn't much difference between sort of Div 2, Div 1. Whereas now each division seems to be better and better. And to be fair, there's not a lot between Div 1 and Elite, but even then you look at Elite and go, I kind of want those rewards. So let's grind your way sort of as high as you can. And, you know, it's not for everybody. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have gone into Elite, but some of the teams are super stacked. And there's stacked teams and there's some of these sort of squads that you're coming up with. But fair play to everyone. It means, you know, if you lose a game, you lose a game. It's fine. Get your 7 wins at least, you know. Try these cards, try the new formations and different sort of approaches to the game. But I think you're right. I think we've got to kind of give kudos to EA because, you know, people have been crying out for the people that grind the hardest. And, you know, there should be a bit of a reward for players kind of further up the tier regardless because that, you know, you're there on merit in a way. So I think it's a good thing. And I think it feels a bit more rewarding.
Yeah, you shouldn't be getting rewarded for staying below what your actual ability level is. And for a long time, especially, you know, in this game, particularly FC24, the equation was so heavily balanced towards actually you're going to have a much nicer time if you sit down the divisions in Rivals. You know, I was playing on my second account. I've finally got back to that for the first time in 4 months. I think, this week, and I'm, you know, been relegated all the way down to Div 8. And it's only when you play in those divisions that you actually realize, you know, how quote unquote fun the game can be, because you aren't dealing with people that play in exactly the same way with exactly the same squad. There is that little bit more freedom. Now, I guess I'm what I just complained about in that scenario, because I am much lower than what my rank is, but I'll just go up through the divisions naturally along the way. And I apologize to those people that I beat. But my overall point is, on my main account, I'm playing more rivals because it doesn't feel an absolute ordeal, because I am playing people that are, whether it's just they're playing more relaxed or people have moved up through the divisions. It just, yeah, it's opened up that game mode again for me. And I'm, you know, it's something that I'm really glad of, because it was one of the big main complaints that we've been talking about on the show a lot, is that for two thirds of the week, you were forced into this mode wherever you were in a high division. You know, it was often quite painful.
Yeah, absolutely. But then at the same time, I think, you know, I was playing Elite yesterday and today, and it does seem chill. You're right. It does seem a lot more relaxed. And you're obviously going to come up against good players in any division, regardless of what number that is. Because, you know, if you're there 9 times out of 10, you kind of found your level now. So I think it's a good thing. I think we've got to say well done to EA. It kind of, you do feel a little bit reinvigorated by it. And I'm sure even playing, you know, you say that you quote unquote sort of sandbag, well, you weren't sandbagging, you got relegated back, but you were there because you hadn't played. And yeah, to be fair, if you haven't played for 4 months, your team's going to be 4 months older than everybody else's, because cards and players and SBCs are so you know, so frequent and so easy to come by now, that a 4 month old squad realistically is going to be well behind the curve, apart from the odd, you know, odd player or two. So I think, you know, I think it's great. I think it's a really good thing, and it can only be seen as a positive one.
Yeah, look, and the really odd, you know, the really good thing, if you want to, I would consider it good, but other people might not say so, is that, yeah, I picked up that second account and I had a couple of really good, you know, the cards that were probably still meta, because I've occasionally popped on and just logged on the companion app to open up a few packs or do a daily login or whatever. So I had, like, I think Team of the Year icon Zola was my only real meta player. The thing is, I've been back on that account for a few days, and the good or the bad thing, and look, it will lead into something I'm going to talk about, is that I've already managed to get that team back up to a really meta level, because the pack weight is so good at the moment, and the amount of packs they give you, Nathan, is just ridiculous. You know, you look at some of these cards that are going for near discard, and 3-4 weeks ago, you would have said, oh, that's a top tier card.
Yeah, there's so much choice, so many sort of variety around, like you say, they're quite big packs. Even if you do some of the objectives, you're getting 84 times 3 or whatever. They've got the 84 times 7 SBC just now, which also helps. The only thing I'm finding is, unless you do the daily upgrades, I'm getting no rares, no common golds anymore, because they're all getting, they're all sort of higher 80 plus, or, you know, higher than 80 gold rares. So, you know, it's good that they're giving you that, but you've got to think of a different way to now grind the lower cards, which, you know, last FIFA, we would never say that was a challenge, shall we say. It was always like, oh, we need more high rated, whereas, you know, we managed to do the hero packs, the icon packs, there's plenty of SBCs there which are still coming in. It says they're about 1. Whatever million, but realistically, you could probably do them in a week for next to nothing. So, you know, it could be seen as good, it could be seen as bad. That's something I know we're going to go on to talk about.
Yeah, look, there's ways to do the grind. I mean, I'm still going through league SBCs, but there are ways of, you know, when you consider the cost of an 89 rated card these days, boom, there gets you 51 cards. You just chuck that straight back into the exchange. Or if you're doing an 84 by 7 and you end up with a couple of 87s, 88s, there are so many ways to recycle. And you could spend limitless time on the menus. And that's good and that's bad, again, depending on which way you want to see it. But one of the main talking points I want to get onto is this, have we just been given too much now, Nathan? And I know a lot of people immediately say, Dan, what are you talking about? For months, you banged on about having a repeatable menu grind and accessibility and greater pack weight. And I know this on the surface might be hypocritical, and I'm happy to throw myself out there for that. But we've almost got so much now, Nath, that it's kind of gone the other way. You know what it's like, isn't it? It's like, you know, you lust after a chocolate bar or whatever when you're on a diet, and then you go the other way. Maybe you've fallen off the wagon and you've sit there and you've eaten 3 Easter eggs. And suddenly chocolate doesn't taste good anymore because you've just had too much of it. And I almost get the feeling that this promo may have swung that a little bit too much, in that there are so many good cards and we, you know, there's so much choice that nothing kind of feels special. And it's this promo alone has basically made almost every single other promo, certainly before Foot Birthday, feel just worthless.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, I want to call you out on something you said the last time we did the pod about 2 weeks ago, where you told everybody to not expect awful lot from this promo. You
try
to be really quiet, you know, lead up to footies, nothing's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, kudos to EA, everything has happened. We've had great cards, we've had, you know, decent cards for people wanting us to start other accounts or start the game. We've had, you know, top tier cards. We've also had an EA mistake in the Beckham SBC. So we've had kind of a bit of everything that you'd kind of expect and more. It's really hard to say whether it's good or bad, in all honesty. The good parts is obviously you get to all these cards that are, you know, most of them are really cheap apart from the absolute top tier ones. So I think it's good that you've got the variety. And I actually think people having these cards creates a bit of a skill gap on its own when you're playing, because, you know, you can't really say I'm being completely out-teamed. You know, you're always going to get players that have, you know, the 97 Cruyff, the team of the year Mbappes, even the team of the year Haaland, blah, blah, blah. So I think, you know, when you've all got squads that are, let's say, competitive, because you have got full, you know, you filled them with these very good cards, I think it shows it's down to the player then, it's the user, which I think's a good thing. We've been calling for a slight skill gap at times and not a complete pay-to-win game. So I think, you know, from that side of things, it's brilliant. From the opposite side of things, and one that I think will probably hit you and Shaq hard, Dan, is that you spend so much time on the menus and so much time trading and trying to build your coin balance and build your club, that actually it's slightly frustrating that you put all this effort in, especially sort of early stages of the game. And, you know, you're sitting on, what, 1.4, I'm sitting on 1.7 mil. And it's almost like, what do I do with that? Because I don't want to buy players because the market's crashing. I mean, it's a good time to try these players. But at the same time, it's like, well, we're talking off air. I'm probably going to go and buy some 89s and put them into the exchange to, you know, fill up my club a little bit. But then you feel a bit daft putting in, like, an 89 rated player just into an exchange. So there's good and bad parts. And to be honest, I don't think you're right. You're right if you say it's good, or you're right if you say it's bad. I think everyone's got their opinion on it. I think it's probably a good thing, in all honesty, but I can also sympathize with those that get a little bit frustrated by it. So, you know, I'm getting splinters in my backside because I am firmly sitting on the fence here.
No, look, I agree with you. It is something that is very much in the eye of the beholder. And the one thing that I would say is, you know, you talk about, oh, well, this, you know, might make people like you and Shaq feel, you know, a little bit bad. I don't necessarily mind as much, but I'd never considered myself very great at gameplay. Like, I am certainly not bad, I don't think. The people that, you know, give me a good thumping on Weekend League might disagree. But I think, you know, 11 win regular player. I've been in Div 2 to Elite most of the season, most of this game cycle. But I used to be able to get an edge, Nath, because I did know the menus really well and I knew the ability to grind and things like that. And it let me get players that maybe propped me up a little bit. Now, that current advantage is kind of gone now, really, because everybody has, if you put in a decent amount of time in this game, everybody has that super team now. Everyone has a team that has very fine margins. I mean, you're looking at the cards that are pittance now. You like that Ji-Sung Park midfielder, 5-5 midfielder who's got 91 pace, 86 shooting, 89 passing, 94 dribbling, 84 defending, 88 physical. It's a TOTS level card. And he's 440K and packable as well. Very, very packable as well. Robbie Keane getting a hero card, a 5-star weak foot, 4-star skill move striker. 34K for a guy with 92 pace, 93 shooting, 93 dribbling, 82 physicality. Like, your advantage is gone now, because even if, yeah, you've scrimped and you saved and, you know, you've got card, you know, you had the ability to craft out someone like an Mbappe or a Eusebio or Hullet and these cards, boom, your advantage is gone there because everybody's caught up. And like you said, that is kind of a good thing because it puts the emphasis straight back onto the, you know, the old fashioned, it's like playing seasons, isn't it? Because it's just two people pick a team. They're slightly different, but they're roughly the same value. And then it all comes down to who's the better player on the day. Some people might like that. I actually quite like being able to give myself a leg up through working a different aspect of this game. And I feel like that's gone. And yeah, but that's just me. And I don't know if that's, you know, some people might say, well, you know, good. Everyone should be level. But yeah, It doesn't quite sit right. It was just me in the way I like to play the game anyway.
No, I totally get that. And to be fair, there's a few players that I really want to buy, but I'm not, because I know that either in a couple of weeks' time they'll be probably well behind the curve if it goes on how it's looking just now, or they're just going to drop even further in value. One thing that kind of comes to mind, though, is I think this might lull us, and I'm going to do a Dan from 2 weeks ago, I think this might lull us into a false sense of security where, you know, Tots cards are going to be another step up. So we've got, you know, the better cards are, say, 94, but the Tots are all going to be 96 rated at least, I'd imagine, like at least the ones that you want to use. So I think the drop rate on them may be slightly less until towards the end of the promo, where they do sometimes go a bit wild. So I think that these cards, most of them do have like the odd floor. And, you know, I've packed that Viali, the 93 Viali, like so many times. He's actually amazing to play in game. And he's only, you know, 40K. So yeah, that's unheard of. So from a market point of view, you might actually be all right stocking up on some of these high rated cards, because we will have an R9, we've already had an R10, but you'll have an R9, a Cruyff, maybe a Vieira or another Hullet SBC, which will be heavy on the demands. And, you know, these 90 rated squads still aren't even the easiest to compete just now. So yeah, I think I sympathize for people like yourself that, you know, have put all the work into the market, into the menu grind, because I think the whole game you should be taking the whole game as a package, and that is certainly part of the package that, if you're good at that, should pay off. But I do think it's also, on the other hand, really good that there's more of a skill-based sort of impetus. And like you say, the fact that the like rivals, you can't get relegated. Some people were complaining that earlier, but it could make it a lot more chill. You know, the cup game being unlimited, certainly for this promo, definitely makes it a lot more chill. So I'm not against it, in all honesty. I'm not against it. I do think it's decent, but I can obviously see the other side, where it's less than ideal for people that want either that or their advantage, or spend a lot of time grinding other aspects. But I do think that time will come back round, certainly through Tots.
Yeah, it's a two-pronged thing for me, because, yeah, look, I see exactly what you're saying, but I always think here that everything EA does is very deliberate. And I think this is just another test for them, because I think they have gone, we've certainly gone through promos for a lot of this year, Nathan, you know this only too well, where promo cards have been almost impossible to pack, especially the good ones have been almost impossible to pack. And they would have seen, what's that doing to the amount of games that people are playing? What's that doing to the amount of packs they're opening? And, you know, time spent on the app and things like that. They will have all this data. They're always collecting our data. Now I get the feeling that they've gone the other way. So they said, right, here's the results when we're really stingy and tight and the pack weight's low. Let's see what actually happens if we let everybody have really great cards, if we make the pack weight really cheap and we're giving out, you know, cards everywhere. So I think this will be a very interesting experiment for them to see, okay, are we actually getting people to play this game more now they've got loads of good cards, or is it causing people to drop off because they've eaten too much chocolate and they're full and they want to go and be sick?
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see the results in the store, though, because we know during it wasn't Team of the Year, but one of the recent promos, the only way really to get decent promo cards was to get the big store packs. Mm. So I've noticed they're still in the store, but now that the drop weight's, you know, a lot higher, does that stop people going to the store, or does that make people go to the store more thinking, I've got a better chance of getting my 97 Cruyff or my 94 Jairzinho or Puskás or whoever it is?
I've seen so many more people now opening the big store packs with coins, which is something we never, you know, we usually throughout most of the year say, don't do it, you know, don't be tempted. But now we're getting to the point where, you know, with the pack weight and the way it is and the level of these players, it almost does make sense to say to someone, okay, you know what, you've got 2 million coins, go spend 650,000 coins on that top pack. And then you can go away, and whether you're going to be starting to craft Ronaldinho or somebody else that you've had your eye on, you're probably going to get a couple of decent cards that will make at least your bench or your squad or give you something to think about. But yeah, the interesting thing will be, are people still loading up on EA FC points, or are they not? And also, is this the old-fashioned reel them in to then pull them in later? So is this a ploy to get from EA to get everyone to spend their coins on these packs? You know, go for broke. And then, like you say, Tots comes out, suddenly people haven't got, you know, suddenly there's a, you know, cards are even better than people could possibly have dreamed of. Now there's a 500,000 coin store pack, and oh, I've spent all my coins during Galazzo, I'm going to then have to go back and load up on the store. So, yeah, this will be very intriguing from EA's point of view, and I do get the feeling that this is a test. And look, I'm happy about it. I'm happy that they're trying this strategy. And actually, you know, could this lead to a better game next year? Who knows? The only way that we're all going to know whether we're enjoying this is not right now when we're into the second week of this promo. It's going to be in sort of 5-6 weeks' time where are we burnt out? We feel like, okay, the team's got as good as it's going to go. Oh, team of the season, it's not that great. I'm going to drift away. Or is it just going to keep us hungry? That's why I thought we would have a really quiet week, because that is the cycle. They you know, they pump us up, they get us excited. Thunderstruck, amazing, great. Then it quiets right down with, you know, team of the group stage or whatever it is. Team of the year, great. Then it calms down with road to the final and things like that. Even during team of the season, we've seen it in the past. I remember there were years where it was things like the La Liga team of the season week was like amazing and great. And then for whatever reason, Bundesliga and Serie A were absolutely awful. And then, oh, Liga and team of the season's out, we'll make it great again. Because they can't keep people hyped all the time. In terms of the actual team of the season cards and things like that, I think that will be the start of the three playstyle pluses. And it will just be a case of how much do they affect it. But I think the other thing to consider, Nath, with team of the season this year, and you know the guys will probably get into it more on the weekend show, so I won't steal their thunder, is now we've got double the player pool and we've got all these new leagues from the women's game in. What are EA going to do? Because historically it's been Major League on the Friday, and then you get the second, quote unquote, secondary league in the midweek. So you would get, you know, Premier League and then the EFL or Serie A and the Turkish League and things like that. But what do they do? What do you think they do, Nath? Do you think that they will go on Fridays, Premier League and WSL? And then is it midweek still like a minor league and a minor women's league? I mean, how do you think they're going to handle it?
I can see them doing a major and a minor together. So like Premier League and say Championship on one, and then WSL and Turkish League on another one. I don't think they can eke it out just to keep it one on one, unless they do get rid of some of the minor leagues. But then you'll be alienating some of the player base as well, because we've got some diehard sort of rest of the world, say, because not even Championships, but I know you're a Reading player, and to be honest, Reading probably won't get anybody in the,
team of the season.
But, at the same time, you know, you'll have some teams that some fans that definitely would want that type of thing. So I can see them doing like a major and a minor on a Friday, a minor and a major on a Tuesday, say, or whatever it'll be. But I think you're right, because I think last year, you know, team of the season goes on so long, by the end of it, you're just dead. And you kind of go in, I'm just going to save for Ultimate Tots. And you don't, because there's so many ways to get packs as it is. Like, saving packs is kind of redundant. I kind of save from, usually from a Thursday, Friday, and then open them, and then open what I do until the next Thursday, Friday. It's Wednesday, Thursday, sorry. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. But, you know, I'd like them to condense it, which I know they're not going to do, because it's all, you know, it is still money at the end of the day. I do think Tots goes on too long. And by the time you get to the end of Tots, the Tots players you pull in week one, they're obsolete, because they have to keep increasing that curve. Like, maybe not by actual player ratings, but like you say, by play styles, by certain stats might get tweaked a little bit. And yeah, I'd like a 4 week rather than a 6 week promo. I think that would be ideal. But again, that's a topic probably for another day.
Yeah, and then Footies comes along straight after that, and the cards are absolutely bonkers. You know, you're getting 99 red cards with, you know, everything under the sun straight away. And suddenly that, yeah, like you said, the player you pulled in Bundesliga team of the season is fodder 2-3 weeks later. So that is the kind of natural thing. And I guess it's, you know, you can't rage against the dying of the light, because we are getting already towards the end part of this game. We are 2/3 of the way through. Realistically, the game launched in September and we are rolling towards the middle of April. You know, usually around July is when they start getting you hyped for the new game. And that's, you know, 10 weeks away. So we are reaching that point where your journey comes to an end. And like I said, I might be coming across as hypocritical here, because you can go back and listen to lots of shows where I'm saying I'm sick of my team standing still. It's really hard to pack an upgrade. You know, everybody's got Eusebio, Mbappe, you know, the Hullet, the same players we were talking about. There was a good 8 to 10 week stretch. And it's been a pattern now the last couple of years where it's been that stretch from mid-December through to March where people do seem to have very static teams. And then all of a sudden, EA released a floodgate and everything. You know, my team is, I don't know about yours, Nath, my team has changed more in the last 3 weeks than it did in 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And we offline, we have a lot of chats because I don't even know how to set my team up anymore because there's so many good options in areas. There's still certain positions that I can't seem to pack an upgrade in, not for want of trying. I open a lot of these, I grind my way through a lot of these packs, but there's a couple of positions that I do want an upgrade. But for the most part, you know, I'm stacked up front, I'm stacked at centre back, I'm stacked on the wing. So, yeah, it has changed and it keeps changing, but that's something I quite like because I can change it around. And, you know, if I have a day where something's not working for me, then I can mix it up a little bit. There's not one player safe. I mean, Shaq's going to kill me, but I've dropped Neymar now, which he will absolutely, he'll go on me for. But, you know, it's mental to think that a player like that is replaced. But that's the sort of stage of the game we're at where there's so many good options. And to be honest, there's not many bad cards around, even the baby versions of some of these. I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, like the baby Vidic is meant to be amazing. I'm not going to use him because he's not the daddy Vidic. But at the same time, if you look at stat-wise, he looks incredible. And there's loads of cards like this that are cheap, that are easily packed, that would improve like a lot of teams, or if not improve, at least be a good sort of viable alternative.
Absolutely. And look, we're going to get more into this because there was quite a divisive tweet that was doing the rounds this week about the community and their approach. It's going to be going to get into. We are going to talk a little bit about the news and releases, including news of a patch and much more. We're just going to take a very short break. So stay with us.
Hi, it is John. And I know advertisements or breaks in podcasts sucks, but they do keep this show running. So are you, however, tired of these advertisements or are eager to find the forward button to skip these? There's actually an easier way to do that and getting our shows earlier while you're at it. Check out patreon.com/footinreview and support us through there. Starting from $1 a week, you can get discounts on coaching from the team at Foot Coaching. You get no more advertisements, special bonus content, and access to our events. And if you are on Spotify, you can also click the sub button there. So check out patreon.com/footinreview or the sub button on the exclusive content on Spotify. And now let's return to the show.
All right, let's get into part two. I mentioned that we were going to talk about a pretty divisive tweet in a minute, but I just want to get through some of the actual news lines. We have had title update 12, Nath. Now, on the surface, no actual gameplay changes on this one. You know, they've not nerfed any particular skill move or anything like that. However, this could be quite an important patch for some members of the community because over the past few weeks, since the last patch, lots of people have been reporting things like micro stuttering, high pings. I know there's been lots of tweets from people playing in Africa, for example, saying that their pings have skyrocketed in the last couple of weeks, going up to like 200-300. And one of the patch notes is that they have improved some stability issues. So hopefully that is just going to improve the general connection and gameplay experience. Fingers crossed on that. So any brief thoughts on title update 12?
No, like you say, there's not major news. I play on sort of 20 ping, but if they could bring that down to about 2, that would be delightful. But I don't think we're going to have that unless you're somebody like our John that's got an EA server in his basement or something. So no, nothing huge, not really a lot to really need to go into, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it means to be seen. And look, anything they do to improve everybody's overall experience is great. And look, will they sneak some sneaky changes in? I mean, who knows? Who knows? But anyway, let's get to that divisive tweet. And Nath, it's one that you brought up and I'd also seen as well, sort of introduce everybody to what it was.
Yeah, so on Twitter or X, there was a tweet, and I'll need to be forgiven because I can't remember the original poster, so I'm not trying to take credit for this at all. I just didn't really pay attention. But basically what it said is, the game isn't dead, the player base is killing the game. So I found this really interesting because I have seen more and more people saying the game's dead because people are doing the same things over and over, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the thread kind of goes on to say EA are now giving us so many players like we've just discussed. The sort of the addition of playstyles this year, or the playstyle pluses, have been phenomenal. So in theory, there are more ways to score goals. But what he's basically saying is 90% of the people use the same players and use the same method of scoring goals, which is usually the cutback sort of goal, hit the byline, cut it back. So Dan, before we kind of go anymore, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think the player base is killing the game, or do you think the game is still directing us into a certain direction?
I don't think you can condition a gamer base over a number of years to be so obsessed with rewards and then be complaining that that is how the majority of the user base is performing and what they are working towards. We talked about this off air, didn't we? I said, like, yeah, okay, I could start playing some really different kind of football and trying some more skill moves and stuff in the middle of the park and stuff, and I might score a couple of really great goals. But if I've lost 6-2 and I've just spent 20 minutes and I've just conceded 6 cutbacks, how am I going to feel after that game? I might feel like I've had the moral victory because I've scored a couple of nice goals and maybe I post them to my profile. But ultimately, what have I really got from it? So I don't think you can blame it. Now, where I think they've got a point is in cup modes and things like that. It annoys me when I go into a cup mode and I see everybody playing like Gold Van Dijk, all of the same players they've literally spent the last 4 months using and have only just moved away from, that they just go straight back to. You know, things like cups are a great opportunity to try new players and try different things. And actually, I think a lot of the gamer base are doing that. I see lots of different teams. I see people scoring. Probably because one of the good thing they did in this Galazzo Cup is make objectives for like scoring headers and crosses and things like that. So people are having to mix up their gameplay. You know, thankfully, they didn't put an objective to score 20 cutbacks. So I see what he's saying, because, and again, it goes back to me saying, well, I might be hypocritical right at the top of the show, because, you know, we cry out for, you know, usable cards. We all moan and say, oh, I'm forced to use Eusebio because there's nobody else as good as him out there. And then they hand us Robbie Keane, Berbatov, Viali on a plate, and we go, oh, I'm still probably going to use it. And look, I'm not criticizing John for this, but John talked about this on the weekend show, didn't he? He said to Yngwie, I mixed up my team, and actually, I have gone back to it because I need that little extra edge that you get from using Hullet or from using Kaká, etc., as opposed to using a Van Nistelrooy card at striker. So it's really difficult. Again, I think the incentive has to be on EA to create more game modes and more opportunity to reward players for just playing football rather than getting people to play for Ws.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, like I said, the playstyle pluses, I think, is a big deal. I've changed my game around this week, which actually has fired me, like we said earlier, into elite, into almost a good weekend league run. I did the Beckham SBC before it got taken down, so I've got my Beckham on the wing. I've packed Drogba, so I've been scoring goals for fun, basically just switching to, or getting the ball out to Beckham and crossing it in, and Drogba's just a bully. So I like that. That reminds me of the Man United team that I fell in love with back in the 90s when I was growing up, where Beckham would do that. He would ping the crosses in. So I kind of agree with the tweet. I think that we have been conditioned, so I don't think it's necessarily the player base's fault, but you do always see, and I'm one of them, I have to admit, I've got Cafu playing right back, and you always see Cafu or James at right back. You usually see a Eusebio. There's normally a team of the year, Casillas, I think it is, in goals, who I've just packed, which I am absolutely using, because I was using the Van Nistelrooy goalkeeper before, who had Popadom hands. So like, you do have like a core of the same teams. But I also think, I'm like, especially since this promo, I am seeing more variety than ever before, I think, since maybe the gold players were kind of all the craze. I think there is a little bit more, but I do think people are reluctant to take risks. But now the rewards are better, maybe we will see people kind of mixing up. I'm seeing Willy Orban a lot at centre-back, who, you know, his stat-wise has been brilliant, but I've never really seen him. But we always comment on how good he should be. And, you know, Sao is still there, but, you know, that's fine. Like, I'm okay with people using similar players. I don't think that's necessarily killing the game, but I do think this cutback meta is a pain in the backside. But the more you get used to second man press and partial team press, the better I've become at stopping it. And, you know, little things like learning not to hold sprint and jockey at the same time, that's huge. And that's training yourself not to do something that I've always done, which is a bad habit. But at the same time, these cutbacks they're not completely foolproof, you know, that they aren't. You can't stop everyone because sometimes it just happens, but you're better equipped. And if you use certain play styles, like I know, Dan, you love Bruiser Plus. If you use Bruiser Plus, you use an Intercept Plus. Like, these things help you. So I'm not just looking for, I'm playing X, Y, and Z in my back line because I like the name. I'm looking for stats and play styles. And I think if you've got a good combination, your team gets a lot more balanced and you do become better at stopping that. And you can play a little bit more football the way that you like to play.
Yeah, it's just really difficult though, isn't it? Because I just said we're, 7 months into this game cycle, and people have been trained to play a certain way for so long that it's really difficult to then go, actually, I'm going to try and play a different way, especially because generally you have to take a step back to take two steps forward, don't you? You know, John always talks about it. You know, you're not just going to immediately master something straight away. You're probably going to have to take a few hits. You know, if you're trying to learn a new skill move, the chances are you're going to pull it off badly three, four, however many times first before you get it right and use it contextually in the right place. In the meantime, you might do it in the wrong place. It'll cost you a chance or a counter will break on you and someone will score. And if the only incentive to be playing that game is to get a W, then you're not going to gravitate towards that, are you? Because you're like, well, I've wasted my time. Yeah, okay, I'm maybe 5% better at that skill move than before this game. But I don't want to go through 3, 4, 5 hours or days or weeks taking L's and getting nothing for my time. Because again, everything is so rewards driven. Now, the difference being that if they increase things like this, this is why things like the daily play and the Galazzo and the goals, just goals objective are great, because suddenly you can lose a game, 5-3, and you've actually achieved something because you scored, you're 3 goals closer to getting a Galazzo pack or whatever. So you don't come away with that empty feeling that we talked about in Rivals a few weeks ago where, you're at a high level in Rivals. What have I got to show for it? I've just taken 3 beatings in a row. I've spent an hour of my time and it's literally got me absolutely zero, as opposed to if I sit in Div 6, in that hour, I'll probably win at least 2 of those games and I'll be getting something.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, it's the same with is the pack weight in all these players a good thing or a bad thing? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, to be honest. I certainly don't think the game's dead. I do disagree with anybody that says it's dead, because there's so much to do. Everything's changing. It may quieten down and the game may be perceived as dead come July, August time, which, to be honest, is usually a natural lull anyway before the new game. But right now, if you ask me if the game's dead, I say absolutely not. I think there's too much going on. Like I said at the start, I'm really enjoying it. There's lots to do. I've probably not got enough time to do everything that I want to do, but at the same time, I think it's great. There's things that I want improved, of course there is, and you'll be the same, but you're never going to have a game that's a complete game that pleases, the entire millions of the player base. And that's, to be fair, that's why we do the pod, isn't it? So, we don't want to have the same opinion as each other. And, John will think differently to how we think. So I think it's good. It gives us lots to talk about, lots to discuss. And again, I don't think there's, you can say X is right for saying this, because, that's the be all and end all. Because I think that's why we love the game. There's so much to think about on so many different sides.
Yeah, and let's not rule out the fact that burnout can be occurring here. And I'm not talking about short-term burnout. I'm talking about long-term burnout, and not even in a dramatic, complete flame-out burnout way. I'm just talking in a gradual, I've kind of been here and done that. Lots of people came into this game, like myself, during the pandemic, 2020, and Ultimate Team was like nothing I'd seen before. And Ultimate Team has changed a lot, even since FIFA 20. Lots of things have gone away. Lots of things have come in. We talked about at the start of this game cycle, EA putting out whatever it was, 83x30 packs on day one of the game, guaranteed icon packs and all these things that, we used to not see until the very end of the promo. The amount of promos had gone up the way it has, the amount of players. It has got to that point where I think for a lot of people, they are kind of like, well, I've seen this and I've done it. I need something new. And whether that's something new within EAFC or actually they're going, well, Helldivers is great. I'll go play that for a bit because it's something completely different. We've not seen that type of game for a while. Or whether they're going off and doing anything, whether it's Minecraft, Animal Crossing, COD, whatever. Lots of people can be just at the point now where, I've done this for 7 months. I've built my ultimate team and I'm done. I've built my fourth ultimate team or my fifth ultimate team. What else am I going to get from it? Because that's why lots of people like Inception and Nick and Nep and lots of content creators and veterans of the scene are sitting there pointing out to EA, you've got to innovate. Because actually, you've given this card a new shiny coat of paint and you've put a new shiny pack in and there's nice little things like Evos. But actually, we're just doing the same thing over and over again. And to expect people to engage day in, day out, hour after hour, doing the same things, eventually people will burn out, whether naturally, you know, again, in a dramatic way or a not so dramatic way.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're fully correct there. But they've got things within the game they don't use. You know, we've got the different friendlies, the online friendlies, even the King of the Ring ones, the no rules or whatever. Like, I don't understand why they're in the menus if you're not going to use them. I love the no rules games. I did play that with my pals offline. I think it's great fun. You can literally just kick everybody and stand offside. I think it's a brilliant way of play. But, you know, last year I think we had one time where we had to use that for one of the objectives, but we've not seen anything like that now. You know, Silver Lounge, we're getting bronze and silver cards that their only real purpose is to go into other SBCs. Like, you're not using them unless you use them in the first week to get the objectives for the Jumbo Rare player, where it's win 10 bronze friends, 10 games with a bronze team or something like that. So yeah. I think the whole card sort of issue needs revamped, because I don't see the point in, you know, having, even with the icons, you've got to put in for two of the squads, it's a bronze rare and a silver rare. That's pointless, because you get so many of them anyway. It's not really adding anything to complete in an SBC, in my opinion. And I get it for certain, like, marquee matchups, you might not want to use your gold, so you can use a couple of the silvers to get your team in for that certain league. But apart from that, it just seems pointless. But at the same time, I still think there's lots to do. Yes, it's a little bit stale that we're basically champs rivals, and, you know, things like reducing the squad battle halves. That's a good thing. You know, some cups, maybe bring in a golden goal mode for some cups, because that was quite fun when, you know, EA decided that's what it was going to be. There's so many things they can do that won't take a massive change, or, you know, it wouldn't cost them anything to do. But at the same time, that's why we're sitting in an office recording a podcast, and we're not sitting in Vancouver making millions for EA.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line for EA. They, you know, I've said it all throughout my podcasting career here on Fair Review. It's all about the bottom line for EA. But that bottom line has to be balanced, because, yes, they can make as much money as they want today, but they do still need to ensure that new people are coming into the game, the old people aren't leaving the game, because, you know, the bigger the volume of the player base, and certainly the bigger volume of your committed players, the more money you're going to make in the long term. You know, okay, yeah, you might make record profits, but if you're driving off 20% of your gamers this year, it's going to be harder to hit that target next year. You'll have natural drop off at the top end of that, and gradually your products will go down, and so will your profits. So it is a delicate balancing act. They did certainly go for the almighty dollar in the first half of this game, and now I do feel that they have gone, okay, we have made a load of cash here, we can be a little bit more take the shackles off and let people have what they actually really want more. You know, we've never had a menu grind this good, really. You know, I look at the things you can do with the icon picks, the hero picks, the just normal gold player picks, the exchanges, it's fantastic. I could, if you asked me to design a dream menu grind, I don't think I could do much better than this for someone that just wants to sit there on the companion app. We talked about it earlier. You could literally just spend hours and hours and hours doing player picks, and eventually you will get players for your team, because, again, the pack weight is actually good. So it's not just a menu grind without a purpose, like it was largely during, like, Team of the Year, we had a great menu grind, Nath, but it was pointless. We were all getting feeling sick from just doing the same old things over and over again and getting nothing. Whereas this, you're actually getting rewarded for your time. So that's great. And like you say, they've made great changes. The squad battle rewards, as I've just said, things like taking out game limits in cups and things like that, all really good things. But that's still, like you say, not going to keep enough people. You know, make a Mystery Ball Cup, make a King of the Hill Cup. Hell, you've got things like Volta. Why not have a Volta crossover? Whereby, you know, you have a Volta Cup. Because I have not been into Volta, but I used to love indoor mode in old FIFAs. So just make a mode in there. You know, like you say, there's so much they can do. Make a co-op cup. 8 million things that they could do. You know, we could rattle them off in 5 minutes, like 10, 20 amazing ideas. But it will all come down to, what is their resource? What is their priority? And, you know, how are they making money? So it does feel like, you know, shouting into the wind a little bit, but there is so much potential here, and I think that's where we come at it. We're not coming at this from a negative point of view of, oh god, this game's total rubbish and beyond saving. It's like, no, with some small tweaks, this game could go from being, yeah, pretty good to, wow, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget, though, if they were to do something like that, they'd probably need to quality control it so anything could happen, because you could go into Volta and end up playing under the sea or something like that. So it's not EA's forte to have good quality control on new things, including SBCs or game modes.
Very, very, very true. But again, this is where a company that is making literally billions could afford to invest a few hundred thousand in getting some quality control in. But you know, they've got their priorities. They want to make the maximum amount of profit. And that is just the way capitalism works. So let's not get into a wider debate on that, because we could be here a long time. Let's wrap up the show then, because we have been going off long enough. Look, and by the way, I hope that this conversation has been interesting for those of you listening. I apologize if some of you are saying, I want you to talk about Dino, and we've not talked about Dino.
For a good reason.
Yeah, well, he's very, very expensive. Very, very expensive. We're just trying something a little bit different with today's show. Just seeing, you know, we're always trying to evolve here on Foot in Review. And again, that your feedback is really important here. Like, if you're like, no, I actually quite like the structure and going through and having a pattern, that's great. Or actually, you know, whatever you want to see from and hear from this show, let us know on the socials. At Foot Coaching everywhere. And of course, join the Discord. The Discord is absolutely free. And from the Discord, you can whisper John, you can whisper anything and give that feedback. You know, we've got footinreview@gmail.com as well. Get your feedback in, being like, I liked this show because of X, I hated the show because of Y, or I liked bits and didn't like bits. Your feedback will shape this show. We're only doing this for you guys at the end of the day. I don't think it's a secret here that me and Nathan are not getting paid to do this. So if people are sitting there going, I can't be bothered, you guys are rubbish, then we'll happily hang up our headsets and walk off into the sunset. But that's a bit dramatic. So let's end the show with something that is a bit more familiar for our Tuesday show, Nate. Let's do Player in Review. And who is your player review for today?
So mine is the 94-rated Didier Drogba. I think it's a player that you've been wanting, Dan. I packed him, hadn't realised that I packed him, so I threw him into my weekend league. He's one of these players that you kind of say he plays like he did in real life. He's a battering ram, but he's not just a battering ram. He's like an auto shooter as well. His finishing's ridiculous. Like, his face stats are 95 on the cards, but he's 99 shooting, and he's 5-star weak foot as well, so he's amazing. He's got the aerial plus trait as well, so that means that he is absolute dominant. So like I said earlier, playing Beckham to play crosses into him is just ridiculously good. Power shot plus as well, but he's also got other sort of... He's got normal play styles as well, but he's got a lot of them. So he's fantastic. He's coming in at 360 on PC, 382 on console. Well worth the money if you're looking for a striker. I'm playing him with a smaller, agile striker. So I grew up in the era of two strikers, where you played one big, one little sort of striker, and he feeds straight into that. He's an absolute monster. So highly, highly recommend him if you're looking for a striker and you can fit him in.
Yeah, I have. I'm going to review Sol Campbell, a player that I think came out in a mini release, and I hadn't realized it had even been released when it popped up on my card. I know it's like, oh, he's got Bruiser Plus. And we talked about it earlier. I love Bruiser Plus on my defenders. So put him into my team. Guy is excellent. He's so surprisingly quick for what you think of in Sol Campbell. And he plays like I remember Campbell playing in real life. You know, he has got that strength when he needs to. He's also really silky on the ball as well. I don't find him to be a complete tank. I find him agile. He's formed a great partnership. I've tried him alongside both Desailly and Marquez as well. And I think he's outshone both of them for me. I think he's going to be the player that I build my defense around. And again, it's been great to use a player that I always sort of, watching football again throughout the 2000s, always thought, love what Sol Campbell does as a defender, and to be able to get that player into my team in a usable way. Again, he's only about, I think he's about 250k now. And I said I'd put him easily in the top 10 defenders in this game. There might be little bits and pieces that people don't like. Again, I don't think the passing is particularly elite on him. And again, of course, he's not going to give you, you know, if he does pop up with the ball at his feet in front of goal, he's not going to do much good there. He is only 3-3, so not absolutely everything that you'd want, and he's only got 6 play styles, so there are flaws in the card, but I still think it's brilliant. So yeah, give Sol a go. I don't think he'll let you down. But then, as I said, there are so many defensive options. Now, Nathan, a bit like you, I'm sat here with Desailly, Campbell, Marquez, Akanji, Kimpembe, and I just don't know who to really play and pair up in that center defender. I've not had selection issues like this throughout the entire, well, like you said, probably since the gold days.
Yeah, I mean, it's good though, especially with a lot of them being heroes, icons, whatever. You can either you can get them in sort of on chem as well, which is bad because I'm still loving having full chemistry. But I think it's good. We were chatting before. I still think you need to keep someone like Marquez in your team because I like passing out from the back. I have Marquez and I can't even remember who plays next to Marquez now. That's how bad it is. But yeah, I like having somebody that you can play out with as well. But again, that's my play style. It wouldn't be for everybody. Oh, I've got Militao next to him, obviously. That's who it was. So yeah, better pace and a bit of passing. So, but it's good though, because you find combinations that work for you, which is, that's what I like about the game.
Yeah, well, look, we are in a fantastic period for, if you've got any kind of buying power or just any power to actually play the game and grind these packs, you're probably going to stumble upon one of these really good cards. And there are so many meta cards, like we pointed out earlier in the show, that are absolutely going for nothing. So it's a great time to spend. If you've drifted away from the game for a little bit and you've still got a few hundred thousand coins, again, you can catch up like that. Just like that. And when you look at cards, the quality of Drogba going for 380k and Roberto Carlos down below 600k, it's only really those very, very big cards, the likes of Jairzinho and Puskas, that are still going to cost the millions. But I still don't think there's that. You know, Yngwie was talking about it on the show on Friday. You know, okay, Puskas is 3 million coins, but actually Puskas is 4-star, 4-star. So is he actually overall going to be that much better than 91 rated Robbie Keane or Drogba? Quite probably not. So there's never been a better time to close that gap and be able to feel you can compete with anybody. Even, you know, I was looking at earlier, even if you've got like Team of the Year Rodri, which is still a very, very good card, by the way. But actually, if you compare the stats to Xabi Alonso, the one you can get for absolute free, again, there's not a great deal in it. So pop back in, as Nath sort of said, try these new cards out. We've got Mo's like the Cup. If you've not done the Cup so far, highly recommend it. Rivals does feel a lot less sweaty. And of course, you've still got weekend league and playoffs and things like that. And the player base should swell again, Nath, for the next few weeks, because Team of the Season does tend to bring a few players back.
Yeah, it's usually the hardest weekend leagues of the year, though, apart from maybe Team of the Year. But it's hopefully there'll be more people around, so playoffs might be a little bit more straightforward. Weekend league should be a little bit more straightforward if everyone's on, unless you've got the demons coming back. But no, good time to be picking up the controller and give it another whack again, I think.
Yeah, and I love the fact that there's so much to talk about in this game. You know, I kind of worried coming into this podcast, I was, you know, saying to you and John and the guys, I don't know what we're going to talk about really, but I suddenly looked down at the clock and we've been talking for the best part of 45 minutes plus. So it's good that we can have these conversations about the game. I hope everybody still feels in a positive place with it. I've pointed out some of the things that I necessarily don't like, but there, you know, as I said, there's a hell of a lot I do like about this game at the moment. Is it perfect? No. But I think the greatest threat to any game, Nath, is apathy. When you're not even talking about it and you're not even thinking about it, that's when you know a game is dead. When you're not even thinking about it, when you're not even logging on at 6 o'clock, that's at the point where a game really needs to worry. And I don't think we've hit that point yet. I just think that there is just a little bit of overall fatigue with the game that might be causing some people to cycle in and out again.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of anticipation, right, eagerly or not so, about how they're going to deal with the power curve now. It's at a good height already, and you've got TOTS coming, and then, like you said, footies, and probably some sort of Euros-based competition in the summer as well. So not quite sure how they go with it, but I'm quite intrigued to see how they do deal with that. And, you know, for somebody that likes to do both gameplay and menu grinding, I think it's quite an exciting time still, and still plenty left of FC24 for me anyway.
Yeah, look, plenty of potential for that. And of course, if you do want to get better at your game, go check out footcoaching.com. Great packages available. And they really do teach you the key fundamental mechanics and strategies, both mental and practical, to be able to take you to that next level, especially when you have access to these players. Now, it's never been a better time to, as I said, to sit there and learn different strategies and learn how to use different play styles and skill moves and tactics and things like that. This is a great time to do so, and the team at Foot Coaching are there to help you with that. Again, join the Discord. It's absolutely free. And look, if you want to go the extra mile to support this show, patreon.com/footinreview. Especially now that we've opened up the Discord, I can only thank our Patreon members even more, because they are still going that extra mile to support us. And the funding you give us pays for all sorts of things that you both do and you don't see. It pays for tools in recording and software, pays for things like headphones, and lots of different things. It all goes back in towards making this show better. As I said, we're not sitting here, you know, John's not sitting there handing us Patreon money to go out and buy pizza. Although, John, if you are listening and you do want to buy us pizza, you know, just saying. Yep. But no, in all seriousness, thank you so much for the support, both financial and for those of you who are just following us on socials, spreading the word. Thank you for all the feedback on episode 600 as well. Hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly, you know, it was really nice and a little bit emotional, as the other guys have said, listening back to that and seeing the difference that the podcast has made to such a diverse group of people as well, from all across, you know, Europe and the world, coming together to unite to do this. So thank you very much. I'm going to wrap the show up there. They will be back over the weekend with episode 603, where we're expecting, I think, team of the season warm up.
Yeah, that's usually the pattern. So it feels mental to think that in terms of the real football season, still got 8 games plus to go, but that's where we're at. Let's go and see how they...
Speak for yourself. We've only got like 4 or 5 games left in the EFL.
In the EFL, not even in the season, just in the EFL until you get relegated.
Come on. We're going to beat Bristol Rovers tonight. Probably won't, but the fact you'll know by the time this show is released whether we beat Bristol Rovers or not. Tommy will be all over my DMs.
Yeah, so that means basically you know whether you can speak to Dan in the Discord or not tonight, or give him a wide berth.
Absolutely. And on that note, you can follow me at Wimby, your NJ Downs.
Absolutely, yeah.
And of course, as I said, foot coaching for all the socials for the show. Join the Discord. The link is in the show notes. One thing left to do, Nath.
Drop it.
We are going to drop it.
Drop it.
F-U. 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 T. 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 In the view.